Morning, everyone. Okay. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 12. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Where am I going to? Sorry. 12. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than God, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Sorry, there's lots of highlighting and underlining in my Bible.
It's more than okay. Good morning and welcome once again. If you are currently staying at home due to public health orders, thank you for joining with us on our live stream. We are hoping and praying that you are safe and well at this time. For those of you who are here with me, thank you for being part of our service today. As we start this morning, I want to put a question to you. Have you ever had to put your faith into something? I mean, like, maybe you've been driving somewhere and you're between towns and that dreaded light comes on. I need fuel. And you have faith that I have enough fuel in the tank to get to the next town or the next servo. Maybe you've had to put your faith in the post service because you need that item to arrive because someone has a birthday coming up really soon. And if it doesn't arrive, their birthday is not going to be that special. We put our faith in a lot of little different things. I was reading this week about the author Max Lucado. And Max Lucado tells this story of how he and his boat survived a hurricane. The story goes that an old seaman once gave Max some random advice. They just started a conversation and this sailor said to Max, "If you're ever stuck in a big storm, take your boat out to the deep waters, drop four anchors off each corner of the boat, and have faith that the anchors will hold in that storm." Max shares that he learned a very important lesson because he was caught in a storm and he did have to go out to the deeper waters and drop the anchors and pray and hope that these chains would hold him in place. And as Max is going through this experience, he shares how he learned that we all need an anchor in our life. Something that we can hold on to in the storms of life. Something that can be like that deep water and four anchors. He then puts to us that
Our anchor needs to be our faith in God. Now, the truth is that we put our faith in things. But have you ever thought about how important it is to have faith during these hard times? Where do you find faith where do you find faith strong enough to make you come through the storms of life? See, the question is not whether or not we have faith. We all have faith. Everyone has faith. Faith in some shape or form. Atheists have faith that their rational reasoning has removed the possibility of God. They have faith in their intellectual abilities. Others have faith in their abilities and skills. Others that they have the right connections to get up where they need to be. Others have faith that in those dark and hard times, friends, families will be there to help them. And then there are those who simply have faith in themselves. I can do this. Everyone has faith. Everyone has faith. Just ask the guy who follows the football team that's always at the bottom of the ladder. Oh, next year's going to be our year. Everywhere we look, we put faith in things. As you go through the traffic light that's green for you, you have faith that the people going in that direction are going to stop because they've got the red signal. You put faith in your feet when you walk across the road when the green man is there saying it's time to walk. But the question is, where is your faith anchored? What is it anchored into? How does your faith hold when things get hard? How does it keep you firm? Well, that's what Peter is answering for us today in the passage. In our reading, Peter gives us a list of faith that we can use, or should I say an example of faith that we can use to anchor ourselves in the harshest of storms, the storms that life throws at us. When Peter wrote this letter, things were changing so rapidly. It was the beginning of the first century. The government remained unconcerned about this new religious sect. But as the church grew, this government suddenly started to take notice and put in constrictions. And Peter is writing to a church and people at a time when they're finding it incredibly difficult to live out their faith. And Peter says, well, let's look at this. Let's ask the question, what is it like to have that authentic Christ-centered faith during these difficult times that you are facing? And it's a call to us to know that sooner or later, when we find hard times, when times will be tough, then this becomes a call for us. It becomes the question of how do we anchor and hold our faith? In this passage, Peter, I believe, gives us three important reasons that Christ should be our anchor. And the first is this: true faith in Christ doesn't perish. One writer shared this: how can that be? I mean, how can we seriously ask us that question? How can faith in Christ not perish? And Peter says, well, look where our faith is kept. And where was our faith kept in the passage? In heaven. In the gospel, Jesus tells us that if we put our treasure in heaven, moths and rusts and thieves can't even steal it. Another writer goes to share and says, well, he shared this story, and I thought I'd share this story because maybe some of you can relate. My wife bought me several garment bags for my suits, this writer goes to say, and she puts cedar in them. When I was a kid, the mothballs. Do you remember that mothball smell? Like, even as I'm talking about it, you're smelling it right now in your mind, aren't you? Yeah. And she does this because she knows that the suits are the most valuable clothes that I own. Most of these suits are made of wool. Moths destroy these suits in a short amount of time, but she tries to make them imperishable. Not too long ago, I left out one of my sweaters out of its bag. I didn't think it would hurt it to leave it out, but I found it about 4 weeks later with little holes all over it. Moths had destroyed it. See, in our world, things are perishable. Things break down. But things of heaven hold. See, when we put our faith on things of this world, our faith can perish. It can be diminished. I have faith in my football team, but when they lose so much, I start to go, maybe it's time to jump ship and follow a better team. Countless kingdoms have come and have fallen because they have put their faith in things of the world and not in the kingdom of heaven. Economies have been built and destroyed. Nations have been established and vanished. And all that's left of them, all that's left of these kingdoms, are ruins that you find in museums. But the kingdom of God has remained consistent in the past 2,000 years. God has remained consistent in the past 2,000 years. Our faith is anchored in heaven and not of the things of this world. And that way we know that our faith is imperishable. The second thing that we can know from this passage is that our faith is uncorruptible. Have you ever heard that old phrase, absolute power corrupts absolutely? Nobody's heard it? Okay. There's an old saying that goes like this, absolute power corrupts absolutely. See, the problem is right now, you got your mask on and you think, I don't need to talk. But I still need your feedback, guys. It's a statement that indicates humanity's selfish and self-centered nature. History is full of leaders who start off with the best of intentions. But what happens? Pride and ego or other flaws get in the way. Their good intentions become corrupted. We place our faith in leaders with these really good ideas, but it's only a matter of time before they're corrupted by those around them. And the true nature of that individual is revealed. But we have faith in Christ. Christ who has no sin. And our faith is in the power of God. God has absolute power, but has yet to be corrupted by it. Christ comes and shows us that there is no pride or ego in his character. His constant cry was, look to the Father. In the scope of eternity, Jesus is the only human person who had absolute power and wasn't corrupted by it. Not even a little bit. Our faith, if we place it in Christ, is not only... Our faith won't perish, but it's incorruptible. And then we come to this. our faith is unfading. Or as I like to pronounce it, unfading. I know a lot of people who are fad people. They jump on the latest trends or ideas, and 6 months down the road, they jump onto something new. I look at my life and I go, I'm a great example of that. Just look at all these pictures of my style over the years. I change. You have too. Go home and look at your old photos. Look at the hairstyle and the clothes you wore. Look at the tone of culture. Look at how you different you are than you were 20 or 30 years ago. And don't I make just a cute little kid? What happened? But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have that same faith. That same faith that we anchor in heaven will see us through to those last days. And our faith must be anchored in the timelessness of Christ. But how do we know that a faith in Christ will hold up during the storms of life? Why should I put my trust in Jesus? Well, the answer is because this is no ordinary faith. It's been tested. Countless people around the world have placed their faith in Christ and found that the anchor has hold. Peter, the one who's writing, survived some incredible storms of life. And he says, here is what I found, that when Christ has been put to the test, he has always come up good. And Peter goes on to say that, you know what, this testing isn't just for testing's sake. He said that this testing has, this tested faith has value, it has revealed stuff, and it is centered on love. Now, Peter plays on a very old image that the church likes to use. The image of the goldsmith. The one who melts down that precious metal until it becomes liquid. They talk about it in the sense of the impurities coming to the surface. And the goldsmith would scrape them off and allow that metal to cool. And as he did this, as he repeated the process over and over again, the gold became more pure. And when did he know that he had pure gold? Well, the impurities stopped coming to the surface. Or as one writer said, he could see his reflection in the melted gold. Peter says that our faith is like gold. As it is tested, it brings out the impurities to the surface. When the purities are removed, faith becomes more valuable. That's verse 7. In our world today and in the world back then, gold was the standard that we define value. We still use sayings like, oh, you're worth your weight in gold. We talk about our sporting heroes as the golden boy. We think about yesteryear as the golden age. Our jewelry is made of gold. Some people like to trade gold. Do you know, in Saudi Arabia, there's vending machines that eject gold. Some people don't trust banks, trust gold. In Peter's world and in ours, gold was considered one of the most valuable things a person could have. And why gold is valuable, Peter reminds us that it should be secondary to our faith. Why? Gold can perish. It can be stolen. But faith, true faith in Christ, during these hard times of life, that when we are refined, our faith will endure. A faith in Jesus Christ will carry us through this life and even into the next one to come. We put our faith in the death and burial and resurrection in God's only Son, and that's more valuable than gold. Faith is eternal. It's meant to be something eternal. It's meant to be something that cannot be destroyed. So, like the goldsmith that is refining gold, we need to be able to see Christ's reflection, like the goldsmith who can see his reflection in the melted gold, so too we should start to see Christ in our refinement. As we grow in Christ, we learn more about him, and our faith becomes deeper. We grow in love. And it's only through a life devoted to faith we begin to see who he really is. It's a little bit like this. When I got married, I spent 6 years dating my wife. However, dating is not being married. When we got married, I started to learn some deeper things about my wife, some of the things that she's scared by, and she learned some of the things that I'm scared by. I learned that my wife doesn't like it when I leave my shoes in the lounge room. I still haven't learned that. But as our relationship continued to grow, as it still does today, we began to see each other in a new light. I understand you a little bit more. I understand what makes you tick. As our faith grows, as more about the deeper nature of Christ is revealed, the end result is that Christ becomes the center of our faith. It's a life that is then shaped and molded by him. And as our faith begins to reflect that deeper knowledge of Jesus, our life begins to change. When you and I live differently because faith is growing, because those around us see the difference. Quite literally, when your life begins to reflect the image of Christ, people go, there's something different about you. Just as the goldsmith knew that the gold he had was pure, when he looked into that metal and could see his reflection. Jesus is desiring our faith that we would be his reflection in love to the world. But this can only come as we refine our faith, as we test it, as we explore it, as we develop it. And Peter talks about how Christ did this out of love. He did this for you, even though you hadn't seen him. He had done this for love. In Hebrews, the writer puts down this very definition of faith. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Sometimes our faith doesn't require proof or sight for us. But notice that faith is still the reality. Just because something is not seen does not negate its existence. As one writer said, if that was the case, all of us would most likely be brainless. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't actually seen my own brain. But we know we have a brain, don't we? Just me then, that's okay. Peter says that real faith is found in a loving Christ. One that we may not have seen, but still know exists. And then he reminds us. He reminds us about Old Testament prophets. And about how God had spoken to them and told them that one day this hope, this Messiah would come, that they would have hope, that the one who could deliver them was on their way. And these prophets lived with that promise. It could be summarized so simply as, hang on, God is not done working yet. The Messiah is coming. Get ready, your deliverer is coming. Your anchor is here. Soon to arrive. But we're on the other side of Christ. And this isn't a message for people who are at the end of the rope. It's not a message for people who don't know where to turn. It's a message of hope and encouragement. It is a promise. And how many people do you know that need to be encouraged not to give up? How many of us need to be told from time to time, no, no, hold strong, help is on its way? Maybe you need to hear that God's promises are not just for those special people, but for you too. So we come to this point. It's not a question of whether we have faith or not. I think we all have faith. We put faith in different things. The question is, when it comes to the storms of life, what is your faith anchored to? Is it anchored to Christ, the unperishable, the incorruptible, the one who's done it out of love? Or is it something that is corruptible, something that is perishable? My hope is that you would find your anchor and place it in Christ now before the storm shows. Let's pray. Father God, we pray. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith. At times it's hard to put our faith in you. We feel conflicted or we worry too much. But Father, we pray that you would help us put our faith in the uncorruptible. Our faith in the imperishable. Father, we thank you that you have done all the work for us and we can claim it by faith. So I ask, Lord, if there is anyone here who is unsure of their faith, that you would let them know that you hold them, that you are their rock to which they are anchored. And we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. So we're going to have another song of reflection, and then Barbie's going to come up and give us a missions spot. Because our guest speaker, I was going to have a guest speaker today, but they're locked in Sydney, right? That wasn't very nice of them.